Good day and welcome Philadelphia and beyond. I'm Tom Donahue. Tom Donahue reports on WFYL Radio, working for your liberty, the station motto, defending your freedom, seeker of truth, constitutional crusader, spirit of liberty. So glad to be with you on this given day. And to me, I always look at this as a blessing. You know, I feel very fortunate to have the opportunity to express myself on things that I deem important, try to educate and illuminate and be able to elucidate on so many subjects that are near and dear to me. I was giving some thought to the fact that I'm doing a one-hour compressed program, and I kind of like this. And that's what the value of podcasting has been for so many, is that you're not having to produce filler. You're not having to produce extraneous. You're not having to be repetitive. There are a few shows that maybe 3 hours, at least in totality, although 3 hours is not complete content or programming, and we all know that because of news and sports and weather and commercials and other preemptions, and some people think of it as excessive clutter. The point is that there is that has to be a commercial aspect to it. And yeah, you could say that there are certain, whether it be perhaps blog talk maybe or the podcasting and sometimes streaming, that it is not monetized, it's not underwritten, and there's nothing wrong with either model. What I'm trying to get to is the fact that with this format for me, without having to reintroduce a subject, without having to either by choice or by design having to be repetitive, I think this is a way for you in a digest form, in a concentrated form, quite frankly, to get the salient points, the main points that I want to express, and then you can move on with other programs, with other responsibilities, with other hobbies, you know, take a break and have something to eat, maybe pray, meditate, whatever it is, you know, exercise. The fact that I can get all the points I want to make on any given day and not have to, you know, recycle this stuff and have to babysit and have to try to figure out a way to fill the 3 hours. Because if you listen to most programs, and there's only a few exceptions, you know, you're hearing, oh, I heard that in the first hour. Okay, the third hour is similar to the second. Oh, I think that they've actually repackaged and are just re-airing what we heard in, you know, and I have to say, the host is a skilled monologuist, and they have a great opening. You almost want to run that opening in a second or third hour, because how do you replicate that? And do you really want to start each hour and have that same beginning, just like you would not have the same close? These are just some media points that I've had to that have been cogitating or contemplating. And just wanted to share with you. I don't follow every international story, especially if it's tragedies. You know, it gets wall to wall coverage. Some networks, especially cable news networks, they come up with a new theme, a new motto. It'll go on and on. You know, ad infinitum. And for me, I figure, well, you already pretty much know about this. What can I say about it? I don't have any secret sources. I don't have anybody close to those tragedies. And so I generally veer away from that. Donald Trump calls the Egypt Air crash another terrorist attack. And he asks, when will we get tough, smart, and vigilant? I haven't really followed it all that closely, and I don't know if there's any evidence to support that. I mean, it very well could be. I don't know. You know, I just think that Donald Trump would have been a great talk show host, because he does jump the gun, and he is a bit of a shock jock, and that's something I had said early on when I did my blog, and others picked up on that theme. But really, he is kind of a shock jock of politics, and you're a stand-up comedian, you know, at times, and he's also someone that just hits hard. You know, I mean, he could be a combatant on any kind of reality program or sports-related program, and so I think really he's going to have to, you know, restrain himself with the Twitter button. I think he's going to have to really start to think through things before he says them. I don't know how you feel about this. There are some very smart people, some very well-regarded people, of great renown. Many times they're men and women of very few words. They choose their words carefully, and sometimes it's less is more, and they have more impactful statements because, you know, they're very, and again, I'm not saying you have to be so careful and so measured in everything that you say or do, but I just think that Donald Trump, it's almost like he has this motor mouth that just cannot shut off. Because then I think you'll speak from wisdom if you're taking time to contemplate, to meditate, to pray. I think that's, I don't know, Donald Trump, it just seems like he feels if he's not talking, if he's not creating news, you know, he's missing out. And I really just think that I applaud him for going on so many programs. I applaud him for speaking out on things that he deems important. If to call something a terrorist act when it may or may not be, I don't know. But I just think that there's words that you can preference your remarks. But anyway, I may or may not spend any more time on that subject because it's, you know, you're just getting bombarded. Well, that's a figurative term. I mean, really, you're getting slammed. Well, that's another word. But the point is that you are hearing wall-to-wall coverage, analysis, and speculation. Now, here's something that affects me to some extent. I've always looked up to, and again, I know that there's a liberal bent. I know that there's liberal leanings. But I've always liked 60 Minutes. Not all its correspondence, not all its reports. The more I think about it, I go, man, Mike Wallace is no longer here. You almost thought Mike Wallace would live forever. You know, he was still doing reports in his late 80s. And then I happened to catch, and I don't watch it as often as I used to, but this past Sunday, they were doing a tribute as it related to the retirement of Morley Safer. And it just came over the newswire that longtime 60 Minutes correspondent for CBS, 60 Minutes, Morley Safer dies at the age of 84. If you haven't seen that, if you're a fan of his type of reporting, you probably would want to go back to 60 Minutes CBS News website and see the tribute, because it was a very good one. It brought back a lot of memories for me. If you're a young lad or a young gal, you may not appreciate the way many of us that have a little more life experience under our belts have for 60 Minutes, because it was one of the biggest shows at one time. I mean, it started off very slowly, you know, I think it started in 1968, I think, or close to it. I think, you know, pretty close to 1970, but I think it was 68. It had a very low budget, and it was the first legitimate, you know, news magazine that would air in prime time. And so it really caught on over time, and then it was ranked number one very often. It was kind of a perennial number one in the 70s. And this is when we're talking about real ratings. We're talking about massive audiences. And they say, well, our population is 330 million. Yeah, but it's so fractured now. I mean, what do you have, 500,000 television stations that are on the cable? You know, and then you have Netflix, and you have, there's just so many compete, you know, all the video and the YouTube and of course the expansion of talk radio. And when you see these shows, they were number one for the week. Well, those numbers have dwindled. They're still big, but you're talking the show could have 15 million viewers, and that could be the number one show for the week. I guess when CSI was in its heyday, they were hitting, you know, close to that 30 million. But, you know, The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, many, many nights had 30 million people listening. Well, it's because you only had three or four channels, and yeah, well, anyway, it just had a few local channels. So when America decided to watch television, their choices were limited, and so you would garner a tremendous audience. And 60 Minutes, it was unbelievable that it was a news-related program, interview features, of course, and you know, spotlight or profiles on people that were, well, it could be sports figures, it could be politicians, it could be actors, it could be artists, it could be whomever. But most of the time, they were pretty interesting. So I like the eclectic mix. I like the different personalities and interview styles. And I thought Maury Safer was an interesting character. He just got people to open up. And he wasn't as aggressive as Mike Wallace, and he wasn't as political as many of the other hosts. But nevertheless, I thought he did a really good job. And so it'd be interesting to see what you guys think about Maury Safer and 60 Minutes and all that. So we got to take a break. We'll come back. Lots more headlines to cover and issues and segues. And Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom, hold tight, right back. Hey, welcome back. Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom, Putting America First, New World Order Dead Last, Constitutional Crusader, Liberty Lover, Freedom Fighter, True Seeker in All Matters. So glad you can be with us. And we appreciate all the good feedback we have received thus far, and we're just getting started. Now back to the 60 Minutes story. Actually, it's a story about a correspondent that has passed. So see how we have that 60 minutes in our minds where we almost think that they're doing the story when in some ways they kind of did, because here's this tribute that was aired on Sunday, and just a few days later he's officially retired. He gets all the accolades, all the acknowledgments. It was a very, very sentimental and very well-deserved tribute, and he passes on. And the details are still developing, but at age 84. And he lived a very rich life. And sadly, and you could see that over time, the smoking really, you know, had a huge effect on. I do know people, even close to me, they have a zest for life that somehow they continue to extend their life. But it's rare. But I do know people, and it can happen. But I just think that in any upcoming generation, there's nothing to be gained by smoking. There are zero positives, and now you have the economic disincentive, I should say, because the price points are so off the charts. And that's another subject you could bring up, is this, should the government intervene in such a way that they're heavily taxing something in order to curb the behavior? But that's, again, like I say, that's a subject for another day. But nevertheless, Maury Safer was doing what he loved. I mean, he traveled, he'd interview people, he could tell the stories he wanted to tell. And you could just see that, you know, he traveled the globe. And so then to wind down your life by officially retiring and having such a great tribute, what a way to go out. But there's part of me, like, I start seeing all these people around me that, you know, like, and I guess everybody goes through this as you continue to progress in your age, and you become part of the latter generations, you know, you become closer to that senior. And again, you see so many people that they don't look, they don't feel, they we're having to redefine things, because there was a study that just came out, and I think it had to do with the World Health Organization, that talked about the average. And again, this is the worldwide, global, you know, collective average in the last 10 years. And I'll get those specific statistics. The lifespan has expanded on average about 5 years. So it's pretty unbelievable. And it's not all because of medical advancements, in part, but there's a lot of other reasons. And I want to focus on our healing and our health and ways that we can. It's not just extending life, but it's the quality of life, and has so much to do with the holistic approach. When I use that word holistic, I don't spell it with an H, I spell it with a W, because I look at it more as whole and complete, not like new agey or metaphysical connotation. You know, we are mind, body, and soul, and spirit. And so if someone says, oh, well, leave the spirit out, well, then I say, well, let me leave you out of this program. Because if you don't have an interest in an afterlife and in the spirit and in the creator and things that go beyond just yourself, well, then this probably is not the program for you. But I have had atheists, and I've had agnostics, and I've had people certainly of different spiritual and religious orientation, that said, this program gets me thinking. It challenges me. There are times I shake my fist, but that's okay. Because you've never tried to control or how can I put it? I do try to persuade in a more subtle way, I try to persuade you by the merits of the information or the arguments I present. Not because I say, you should follow me because I know and you don't. Everything I do, it's about my increased knowledge and education and experience, and I share those things. I also share my values, and it gives you food for thought. And you're going to hear this multiple times. You know, you're going to hear this, well, every program, practically. I'm going to say that you are the discerner and the decider. And so I'm going to serve up the food, and you can choose whether you want to partake in the meal. But you can also decide, you know, if you want to nibble, if you want to just go for it and gulp it down. And if we're talking about that, you know, I have to tell you that it's very important to chew your food. And if your parents or grandparents told you that, they were so right, because all the digestion starts by the increased saliva. And so chew, chew, chew. And if you want to talk, you know, just button it, zipper it, you know, but chew, chew, chew. Don't swallow because you want to say something to your dinner companion, you know, or to your family members. And I guess I have a tendency to sometimes veer off the subject, and then I get back on, you know, the highway, if you will. So it's like taking the off ramp and then coming back on again after I've, you know, veered off and discussed what I wanted to discuss. But the other thing, I think it was Morley Safer that did this report. I'm almost certain it was, because he did a lot with food, and he'd be over in Paris, and he'd be in various other cities and countries, because he enjoyed savoring not only the food, but the culture and the way people lived, and he liked to be out and about. And I remember this, and this really stuck with me as I continue to study nutrition and try to find out really what are the best foods, you know, what foods are healing, what foods are essential, what foods, you know, create the best environment for weight loss and weight management. And so, and I'm almost certain, I mean, I could be wrong, maybe it was Mike Wallace, but I don't think Mike Wallace would have done a program on food, and I don't think that would have been his interest. So I'm almost sure it was Morley Safer. And so he's there in Paris, and they're talking about the French paradox. And you say, well, what do you mean by the French paradox? Well, the French paradox was that they cooked with lots of cream, butter, you know, lots of olive oil. There was a lot of fat in the diet. And at that time, because of misinformation and being misled by the medical establishment here in the West, in the United States of America, and through the FDA and through the AMA, we were told that fat made you fat, and fat was the contributing cause to clogged arteries and heart disease, and you can go on and on. Well, we found over the years there was nothing further from the truth. Because fat is your friend. It's not a fiend. It's not your foe. Now, trans fats, and again, the medical science thought it was just great to convert vegetable oils, hydrogenated vegetable oils in foods, especially in carbohydrate-laden foods, and also for cooking purposes. And don't use butter and cream and coconut oil and olive oil and other fruit and nut oils, because it'll make you fat. Well, the body, meaning also, you know, the joints, the brain, every cell in the body needs to be nourished in fats. And fats, good fats that come from real foods, actually burn the bad fats. And these fats give you energy. And they also, the brain absolutely requires hydration, but also requires these fats. If the fats are coming from foods that were intended for mankind to consume, they're not going to harm you. So this it just kind of stuck with me. It's like, okay, all the eggs and the butter and the cream and the other fats, and they don't have heart disease. They didn't have it wasn't they weren't running rampant with whether it be heart disease, diabetes, blood pressure, cholesterol issues. And I said, there's something to this. And of course, the Mediterranean region, they have more centenarians, people that have lived well beyond 100 years of age. And we're going to talk about, the foods that they consume and how we as Americans can learn something and not just rely on popping pills and being, split wide open and having invasive surgeries. So on that note, and speaking of nutrition, I better take care of my hydration. My throat's a little dry, and so I'm going to have my tea. I'll be right back. Hold tight. Tom Donahue for Philly Freedom.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Welcome back, Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom. Moving right along here, thanks to WFYL Radio, Working for Your Liberty, and the good folks, grassroots at its best in terms of conservatism and constitutionalism, Red State Talk Radio, and of course, TalkStream Live worldwide for the best streaming talk shows 24/7. Okay, and this show is heard on TalkStream Live too, so we do appreciate all the platforms and forums and of course the podcast. And WFYL has added me to the schedule or the show or program page, so there is a description, and there's going to be links and various other ways that in the event that you don't have a pen and paper, you don't remember, or first time you've listened and you want to be able to reach out to me or to listen to more program. When you're doing talk radio, the host is giving their take. And it's not necessarily completely accurate or not necessarily going to be something that you're completely in alignment with. But what I do see talk radio, part of the function beyond, a sense of community, sense of people coming together in a forum or in a town hall, if you will, is the fact that it's a way that, if you're interactive with the show, then it could be a sounding board. I find it to be, and I think many listeners would find it to be, a way to kind of get a reading, a measurement of how close your ideas, your views, and perhaps even the answers that you're hoping for in trying to figure things out. It gives you something that's comparative. It's something that can be confirming or reconfirming. And so that's the way I see it. It's like, we're all in this state of cognitive dissonance where we're not quite sure at times what's really going on. Most of the time, I think the shows that you are tuning into are those that you trust, that you feel are credible. And sometimes you may just want to go into the enemy camp. And I've been known to do that. Matter of fact, whether it's television or radio, I kind of monitor, and not monitor in the sense of Big Brother monitor, but I like to kind of surveil the territory. I like to get a pulse on what's going on even in arenas of opposition. So many people, they say, well, I just listen to Fox News. Okay, knucklehead, that's just wonderful. I just like MSNBC. Or I just watch just the national news on NBC or ABC or CBS or PBS. Well, that's a lot of BS. Because the point is that if you're not researching in multiple ways, nobody's going to get every story right. No one's going to cover every story. And one of the subjects that I spent a lot of time on last week was the fact, and I just happened to catch him on one of these talk shows, and it was not a show that if you were conservative, you wouldn't be on MSNBC probably, because, you know, you'd be offended by, you know, some of the folks over there, because you know it's so heavily, progressively, liberally biased. But, you know, I remember a researcher back in the day, his name was Walt Mann, and Walt Mann taught about constitutionalism, and he taught about, you know, legal research as it related to taxes, as related to, you know, our relationship with government. And he said that there's kernels of truth in everything. And that stuck with me, because it really is true that if you, the more educated you become, the more knowledgeable you become, the more experienced you become, you then have a frame of reference, and then you can go into any subject matter. It's a way for you to challenge preconceived notions. Rather than walking in saying, and so I really do believe that your gut feeling, your instincts, your intellect, there's a lot of ways, whether left, right brain, the combination thereof, that you will figure it out. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that keep an open mind, an open spirit, but never waver on your principles. Walk into any situation, hostile or otherwise, with confidence that you have a certain understanding, and that you're grounded in principles, you're grounded in facts, but you're willing to hear what the other party has to say, even if it's a party that you sense you have very little in common, you're very dissimilar. So anyway, so this cognitive dissonance thing, you know, it really helps, I think, when people get a chance to join into a forum. And I'm not talking about these chat rooms, because most of that is just complete and utter nonsense. But let's just stick with talk shows for our frame of reference here. Many people, I think, knowingly or unknowingly, tune into these programs to see if what they thought based on their interpretation of news events, how correct they were. And it's not. And sometimes people just want their point of view reconfirmed, you know, kind of, you want that seal of approval. For me, I'm not as concerned about whether I know it or I'm right. I want to know, I want to listen to as much as I can, and then I can make what I think is the right call. So it's your take, but you want to be able to, when you talk to others, or you share with others, maybe you're an opinion leader, maybe you're someone that does influence others, and people rely on you, or you just want to have your voice be known. More importantly, I think, is just being able just for yourself to say, I think I understand what's going on around me. I remember when I did my program back in the 90s, and I was very much an activist in Dallas, Texas, and other places in the mid to late 80s, I really felt strongly about trying to reach out to people that they felt like they were nobody understood them, that they were the only ones that thought this way. Maybe they were the only ones that came into contact, at least in their communities, with particular books or magazines or articles that related to the subjects that we're talking about here. And now it's a lot easier in terms of that information exchange to go on YouTube, to go to, talk radio is a predominant and very prevalent medium. So whether, you know, you can listen in your particular town, you can go on the digital online streams, you can go to podcasting, you can Google just about any subject, but there's where the education comes in. That's where the elements of discernment come in, that you have to be informed. You know, you have to be, well, first of all, you have to be aware, then you have to get informed. With that knowledge, you're able to then continue on your quest for greater truth and being able to learn, to be able to understand, to be able to know more. I think it's, you know, very, very important. But many people, they just say, well, this is what I think, and I'm entitled to this opinion. Wasn't that just wonderful? Yeah, there are people that just operate in the moronic zone. Yeah, they're just flat-out morons. Because they choose to be. You don't have to be a moron, and you don't have to be uneducated, or as the term that Obama was using, the operative term was ignorant. And again, if you're just tuning in, and if you think ignorant means rude, well, you better crack open the dictionary. Matter of fact, you can very easily Google a dictionary, online dictionaries, because they're not the same. But when I hear people do that, and they do it often, I just cringe because they say, oh, he's just so ignorant because he, like the way he treated a waitress in the restaurant, or the way he, you know, beeped his horn, or he, you know, jumped the line. And I'm like, no, that's rude. No, he's ignorant. Okay, so I'm rude now because of your ignorance. That's how that works. And yeah, I can be a little bit sarcastic, but sometimes you need a comedic levity. Sometimes you need an air of sarcasm to get your point across, right? Okay. So there are, especially we're getting closer to that final segment today, and we're almost a wrap in segment three, take three, if you will. But there's an article I really, really want to get to. And it's, this one happened to be on, we're all talking about MSN, you know, Bill Gates is, and Bill Gates is still primary owner of MSN and MSNBC. But the news part of it, MSN, you know, in terms of online, you know, in terms of the you could almost call it print media, but it's really online print. That makes sense. Now, this article is, did the Libertarian Party just stumble upon a viable stop Trump ticket? That's right, because what I said the other day was that if they want to do a third party run, you know, Romney and the, you know, Never Trump, Stop Trump movement has passed them by. And so there's major states, big states, and lots of states that you've run out of time. You would have had to get these ballots. It would have taken a lot of time. They had the money, but they're just flat out of time. They would have had to start a third party movement. But the Libertarians, as I suspected, and as I had mentioned, 2016, they are on the ballot for the presidential candidate in all 50 states. So guess what? There you go. You could use, and wait till you hear the candidates, president and vice president. So it's looking more and more like these guys might, and all the years that they bemoaned these third parties, bemoaned the wasted vote, and now they're thinking, this could work in our favor. Maybe we're going to, and I'm telling you, if they do support the Libertarian Party, or any other party, or they create a party that's only going to operate in X amount of states that they get the ballot access in time, then this is going to legitimize a multi-party system, at minimum a third-party system. They could never, ever criticize the Libertarian Party or any other party for being a spoiler. That's right. You know, or a wasted vote. Okay, hold tight. More to come. I'm Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom. Tom Donahue reports, putting America first, new world order dead last, defending freedom, loving liberty, seeking truth in all matters.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.